And I feel like I could keep reading about the Little Norway Festival events because there's a big old stack here in front of me. There's so much going on, but I also have guests in the studio to talk to me about that. We have kind of two things going on. Mara Lutomsky is here wearing two hats. One is the Little Norway Festival Committee. And then she's also here as the president of the Petersburg School Board to talk about tonight's meeting and education issues. We also have Superintendent Erica Kluepainter here to talk to us about education, too. So let's start with the Little Norway Festival. And what's the latest, Mara?
I didn't want to talk too much about the events or activities that are going on, but I just wanted to do a little housekeeping about the weekend in general. So printed schedules are out. They're in a couple of the shops around downtown and in the visitor center. We ask that if you do pick one up, that stays your copy for the weekend and don't leave it at home and then pick up another one. You can also find it in the center section of the Petersburg Pilot on Thursday when they go to print. It's available online. You can download it to your phone and be paperless. You can get it on the KFSK website. So lots of options for where you can get the schedule. And there is lots to do. So start mapping out what you would like to do during the weekend. Otherwise, you're bound to miss something. So the Husflid downtown opens on Friday. Vendors will start setting up probably around 8:30. But we won't close off the road to traffic until between 9:15 and 9:30. So just heads up to the drivers. We will start detouring around that time. And we ask that all vehicles be removed from the stretch of Viking Travel and the Insurance Center. Is that Joa? Joa. Look, I've lived here for 8 years and I don't even know the street names. To Dolphin. So to Trading Union. We ask that all vehicles be moved around the 10 o'clock time frame in that morning so that people can start walking the streets. It's one of the best parts about the festival is that you can just sit and actually chat in the middle of the street and cars won't honk at you to move when you're sitting out there chatting with a friend. So that's happening. The vendor booths, they are pretty much all filled up. We have someone in just about every slot, so there's going to be lots to see. Don't forget to hit both ends of the street. Oftentimes, people think that the booths are just there in that section between Fram and Excel, but they're not. They're going to be stretched all up and down the street this year. So, get on down all the way down from Trading Union to Viking Travel. The parade, everyone asks about the parade, so I'll just say it out loud. It's at 4 p.m. on Friday. Lineup is at 3:45. There is no need to register. If you want to be in the parade, grab a group of friends, create a float, dress up, bring your instruments, whatever you want to do in the parade, and show up at 3:45, and they will put you in the lineup. So no need to give us a call. Just be there. The lineup starts at PFI Hill. That's where the parade will begin. We are asking that all parents and kids, if you're listening, really be mindful of the use of silly string and shaving cream. It can be very staining to some of the, you know, antique and vintage items that get worn over the weekend from the Bunads that have been around for years and decades to even the Vikings garb that they wear. Please, if you are planning to use silly string or shaving cream, of course, we recommend not using it at all. But if you are, you know, keep that to the friends who are all interested in playing and being sprayed. Don't go around. Yeah, don't go around and spray others just willy-nilly. And let's see. So we have some dignitaries coming to town. Senator Stedman will be in town. Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Senator Olson is coming down. He is a senator from Gullivan. And then U.S. Senator Sullivan will also be in town as well. And Alaska Airlines is bringing a lot of their upper management people. They're having a kind of like a retreat weekend over our Little Norway Festival. So you'll be seeing a couple of their VPs and their community reps and whatnot around town as well. So I think that's basically it for like housekeeping. art I saw is already up around town, the students' art. It's always great to see the variations of what, you know, kindergarten to fifth grade creates. So that's nice to see. You can find those in the Forest Service. It's up. I saw it's up at Wells Fargo and
Insurance Company.
The Insurance and Center the bank, and Anchor Properties, I believe, mm-hmm. has some up too. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's fun.
Get out. Start walking the streets if you're not already doing it.
Well, before we jump into yes. more school stuff,
I'll announce our raffle winner.
Yeah, the raffle today. It's 300, right?
It's still 300 okay. today and 300 again tomorrow, and then we jump up to the $500 the $500 giveaway on Thursday. So our winner today is Tracy Reed. She wins $300. So congratulations Sweet. To her. Yes, and her check will be available on Friday. $2 tickets are out and selling. So if you want a chance to win a vacation out of Petersburg, anywhere Alaska Airlines flies for you and a friend, or you can even split them up and take two trips individually. We had a winner one year that planned one trip and then 6 months later went on her second ticket. It was excellent use of the tickets. $2 gets you a chance to win those tickets as well as some other prizes. So you can get those at Lee's Rexall, the Visitor Center, and the Chamber booth during the festival.
All right. Well, thanks for all of that good information, Mara. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tuesday. It's happening.
It is happening.
mm-hmm. But before it gets maybe too crazy, we have a school board meeting. You're the president of the school board, so put that hat on, and let's talk about the meeting tonight. It looks... like a hefty meeting. I mean, there's a lot on the agenda. I don't know how long these agenda items will go, but there's several of the agenda items.
Yes.
A lot of voting happening. And maybe we can talk about kind of what might be discussed a while and what might be just house cleaning and kind of annual stuff. Of course, the meeting is tonight at the middle and high school library at 6:00, and KVSK will be broadcasting the meeting. But one thing you'll be talking about is a new fourth grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's Heidi Cabral, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So the classroom size was starting to get a little too large. The current fifth graders and the current fourth graders had been a split class the entire time that they have been in school, so from kindergarten on up. But now with those fifth graders moving on over to the middle school, it was getting to be a little bit too large in those classrooms. So we opened up a fourth grade position, and Heidi Cabral was offered that contract, and so it'll be nice. We'll have two teachers in each age level in the elementary school next year, and no split classes. So it'll be
first time in a while
that we haven't had a split class.
And that happens sometimes with the fourth and fifth when you move a group over to the middle school. You know, difficult to split a class across mm-hmm. the parking lot. So reasonable class sizes in both of those areas. So yeah, we're excited about that.
And two kindergarten classes coming
mm-hmm.
in then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And some great numbers there. I think Terry reported on that a little bit last time, but definitely.
40s or?
Yeah, close to 40 kids coming in. So that's great. That was a little bit bigger than we thought, and that's always good news. So it's always so fun to see all the kindergartners coming.
Yeah, and then other staffing things looks like, contracts for the principals. Mm-hmm. So that'll be the new principal at the grade school, mm-hmm. Heather Kahn. She's not new to the district.
Right.
But her contract you'll be mm-hmm. voting on, as well as returning Rick Dormer to the middle and high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are on there. All of our other exempt people are on there as well. Our finance director, Karen Quitzland, director of maintenance and facilities, Dan Tate, the fabulous Irene Littleton, who keeps us all on track in the district office, and Carly Johnson, our food service director. So those are all kind of those exempt.
Like department heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're losing a few people, which is a bummer.
I noticed
for sure.
that. I did notice that. one of them is the technology support assistant.
Yeah, Caleb.
Caleb mm-hmm. Collum. And they deal with all, it seems like probably more and more every year because things get more technologically advanced.
Yeah, he's been a great member of the team. We're really sad to see him go, but he's moving into a different position here in the community and taking on a different challenge. He's made a decision, he and his wife, so not leaving town, but still here. So, yeah, he will most definitely be missed. He is just a positive beacon in the district. He's a great staff member and a lot of knowledge. And yeah, so that we're sad, but we wish him well, of course, in his next adventure.
And he was doing quite a bit of work behind the scenes that people don't necessarily tag as, yeah, oh, you're doing a technology job, but he was really kind of the backbone, I think, that people, yes, lean on. I know that my son had an issue with his computer, and it was Caleb that he took it to. So to have it fixed, I think the battery was starting to go, but yeah.
Yeah, he's had a lot of training, and he brought a lot of other skills to the job, just because of other jobs that he's had, other professions that he's been involved in. So we're super fortunate because he is going to stay with us through the beginning of June, like June 10th. And that's a really good thing because they're actually working on a fiber installation project now. And he has saved the district hundreds of thousands of dollars on these projects.
Really valuable that they've been able to do that work in-house.
Absolutely, yes. Things that end up costing $30,000 that would really cost $300,000. So he's worth his weight in gold in lots of ways.
Is that position going to be refilled?
It's posted. We're hopeful. Yeah, we're hopeful that somebody's out there interested in doing that. It's in a great position. I mean, it's the technology department, they do feel like they have really accomplished a lot over the last, 5 to 6 years. I mean, adding on to the amazing work that Mr. Holmes had done previously and just kind of continuing to work on that infrastructure. That's all that stuff, like Mara's saying, kind of behind the scenes that isn't all that, interesting to everybody out on the street, but or that flashy, but it's all the things that allow
the classroom to function.
Yeah.
I mean, when the teacher goes to use something and it's not working, if it had not been working, then it really kind of puts a kink in the kids' day. So at the end of the day, it really benefits the kids to have those
things. There's not
really
much chalkboard action happening anymore these days.
Right. We need the smart boards to work.
Yes. Yes, the smart boards. Exactly. If you haven't been in a classroom lately, it's a lot of computer stuff,
It is. So that, yes. So that's been their motto, just in time support. And they do that. And that's their MO. So we're hopeful that we'll find somebody out there. There'll never be another Caleb, but we'll find somebody, hopefully, great out there interested in coming to work for us.
And then also at the meeting, there's a couple different programs that are going to be looked at. It looks like you'll be considering a curriculum for fine arts and career and technical education. Is that a yearly thing that you consider, or why is it coming up?
We always have, kind of a rotation of like a 6-year rotation. So this was the year for that. Next year we'll actually be, we've started on math curriculum. That's the next kind of cycle. And we sort of do like curriculum work in the year, and then we do purchasing, and then we do curriculum work. And so like this year, we've actually finalized career technical, the shop and aquaculture, culinary,
music
and fine arts. And then we're finalizing that and doing the purchasing. So then next year, we've also started this year even working on math, but next year we'll finalize and then we'll purchase, so you have to offset each year. So yeah, just the rotation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also be hearing from a couple people on a couple different programs. So one is, let's see, Jamie Cabral. What is he talking about here?
The Indian Education Parent Committee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So organizes that committee and works with the families of our Native students here in the district. And there, he's reported in the past on the trips that they've taken to look at, go to Sitka and Sheldon Jackson and have the kids experience some different sorts of things over there, as well as looking at post-secondary options for after high school and what do you want to do next. So they had their parent committee meeting last week, I think, and then he'll do a report on goals for next year and what they're looking at moving forward. Lots more coordination, I think, with our JOM program. Guy Lynetcher's been just great to work with, and just had a comedian partnership that we worked with them to work with, or comedian for the middle school kids, which, you know, middle school kids and the comedian, so Tatanka Means was
that happened.
There.
That already happened,
yeah.
Right? He's
yeah.
performing tonight. We've
mm-hmm.
been kind of
yes.
previewing that a little bit.
Yes, so they had the sneak peek, first opportunity. Heard good things.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty funny, so yeah.
And then Bridget Woodstock will be talking about, looks like, some state changes to the special education handbook. Mm-hmm. Anything major there in terms of changes?
Nothing too major. We do adopt that. That's federal guidelines and regulations for every district. And some districts, I guess, kind of take them and do their own guidelines. Most districts don't. They take the federal guidelines and go straight down because it really just outlines... That's what we follow. I mean, you have to follow all the federal regulations related to special education. So we do that. The only significant, really significant change to it has to do with alternate courses for students who are not able to access general ed curriculum, even with significant accommodations or modifications. We already provide that opportunity here for our students. We already do that. So it was just a change in the federal guidance saying that there might be students who have maybe significant cognitive delays or maybe there's a significant autism spectrum disorder or something like that, which, you know, would not allow them to access a general ed curriculum in the same way.
Okay. So maybe it might affect some other school districts,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
that are playing catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're already good to go on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a presentation on marine plastics. That's going to start the meeting off. Some elementary students talking about that. I know there's been the volunteers coming to the grade school talking
mm-hmm.
about that, the issues with
yes.
pollution.
It's a pretty impressive display if you haven't stopped by and checked out at the library. They did a, you know, kind of a presentation.
At the public
there.
Library.
At the public library,
yeah.
sorry, yeah. It's pretty impressive and... got to help out the first day they were doing it. I was in with third graders, just was over there just checking it out, and it was pretty impressive to see. They made these beautiful jellyfish out of all kinds of pop bottles and twist ties, the whole thing. They're pretty impressive, and the kids have learned a lot. I mean, they really have learned a lot about what happens to plastic when it's left out, and just because it kind of breaks apart on the beach and sort of seems like it might have gone away somewhere. It's not really gone. It's there. It's just really small pieces, and what happens to those small pieces and how long it takes for it to...
I interviewed some fifth graders, I believe,
yeah.
about just when the artist was here. There was
mm-hmm.
an artist in residence for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they seemed to get it. They were absorbing the information and
mm-hmm.
processing it.
It's been a great kind of a culmination, I think, for all the work that Joni and Sunny, you know, that they've brought throughout the year with their activities throughout the year. I know they're doing lots of activities in the community too, but they've really focused on the elementary school this year and hoping to expand, I think, next year into the middle and high school, kind of starting with habits and things when the kids are younger, which I think mm-hmm. is a good focus. So
yeah, and it's pertinent information for our community. I mean, we live and work on the sea, and if that's where the plastic is ending up, it's really, you know, getting into our food chain and can be starting to cut into our life source. So
yeah,
it's always good to understand, and then you can make your own decisions on how you want
mm-hmm.
to live your life. But the
mm-hmm.
information and getting people the information is important. So it's
yeah.
been a great program.
I think so too. And the awareness. And I know just even listening to kids around that I know that they're just more aware. You know, they're just like, why are we using Ziploc bags? Why are we taking this? Why are we, you know, nope, you're right. We shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else that's on the agenda that you want to touch on?
I think just to follow up that we did do negotiations, Mara and I and Cheryl File, with our classified union. It went well. We had good conversations and good planning there. Not really a ton of significant changes there other than we did, we worked or talked about some salary increases, reasonable salary increases that were pleased to be able to do, especially looking at the lower end of the for our newer hires.
Scale.
It's important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we've added 40 cents on at the base for our new employees and throughout the schedule. So it's still not where we would want it to be, but we feel
and that's
good
the core
about
personnel.
That.
So that would be
mm-hmm.
aides and
that's
those
our
kind
aides,
of positions.
Our, mm-hmm, our paraprofessionals and our food service staff, our custodians, our Caleb and Rance, our tech maintenance department. So mm-hmm. we felt good about that and had some good conversations. And we have a good, great working relationship with our actually with both of our unions, our teachers' union too. I think we have a good trust built up between, so we hope not to get to situations where you're doing negotiations where you are hit with things that you maybe didn't realize were concerns out there, and so we were happy that that's not the case. So, you know, if there are questions or problems or issues or whatever, we've tried to deal with those as things go along, and so we have a good working relationship. I don't know if Mara has anything else to add on that.
And that those the negotiation that you're talking about, the agreement is good for 3 years, right? It goes to 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, and, yeah. You know, if anything were really to happen at the state level, we can always reopen. It wouldn't be our choice, of course. We would like that the state keep funding us at adequate and adequate levels. But if there were ever any significant changes at the state level, we can always reopen those contracts. And,
yeah, we haven't mentioned the budget yet. It's been kind of nice.
I know.
But basically, the district has already... You've already kind of approved a draft and not waiting around for the final word from Juno.
We have to. I mean, yeah. There's no way that we can continue to wait out. The conference committee again, you know, held things over for tomorrow, which is the last day of their regular, and I put that in air quotes because really by statute they're supposed to be done in 90 days, but their regular session, you know, they're still holding out decisions to be made tomorrow, instead of today, but there were some decisions that were made. You know, the state will be, unless it's vetoed, but has fully funded reimbursement of the school bond debt. So the pool, the CTE building has some bond debt still out on it. Here in our borough, and that's something that property tax owners pay for above the cap, and they have agreed to fully fund it, which means that there shouldn't be a significant increase in our borough taxes, at least not because of that, which is nice. And there's some school districts that have millions of dollars in school bond debt. You know, we're only sitting at about $400,000 or so. You know, other school districts have millions of dollars in school bond debt from building new schools. I was just looking at I saw up on the whiteboard at the district office when our buildings were built and when they were when they were renovated. So we haven't really had any significant renovations, minus the
elementary
siding of the, of the elementary school since the 90s, really, like interior. Well, the high school, I guess, had some renovations in 2005. But, you know, I think the school district has taken over in the last few years, maintaining our buildings. Even they are borough owned buildings, but our district maintains them. Our budget maintains them. And I think that our staff has done an excellent job in maintaining those buildings, that we haven't had to go out for any major renovations or major maintenance. You know, we have stayed on top of it and been able to fit it within our budget. Within our budget, and I think we have great facilities because of it. So, and those facilities really add value to Petersburg, and the maintenance that we do to those buildings really adds value to living here in Petersburg and value to the borough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of that relationship between the school district and the borough, the community center is closing for, I think it's what, May 15th?
Like 2 weeks.
Starting May 15th. For a few weeks for maintenance. How is the district dealing with that? Because the school district has swim classes at the pool and then PE at the gym.
Well, oftentimes swim ends early.
They
anyway,
usually
doesn't it?
Don't do the last week. This is a little earlier than normal, but we're, you know, we punt. That's what we do. We get outside and do different things. It'll just be different, and he'll probably bring in a few more of just kind of the cold water safety and AMSI course classes as well. You can do some of that stuff on dry land.
Yeah, I don't think you can practice putting on those Gumby suits enough, really.
This is true.
Especially as a
And sometimes
kid.
We add that event to our yeah. field day as well, yeah. so people can practice it there.
So there'll be there'll be swim classes in PE. It'll just not be at the community
right.
center. It'll be outside
yep. yeah.
someplace
and
else.
Sharing
I think
and
we're
partnering.
Still able to use the gym.
I think the gym we can still get into, yeah. But
it's
the pool
not open
there.
To the public, but...
Right.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the school is still
mm-hmm.
using it.
And we've kind of been having a little dry run with that just because of the closures on Mondays. So we have had to have a little bit of... It was interesting. The first Monday closure was a little challenging because, there were sort of people kind of coming, getting into the building. I don't know if kids were, you know, inadvertently letting people in, and people were still in there and hadn't quite maybe heard all the announcements or whatever. And so, which is, you know, a little bit, can't be in there on the Mondays. That's not, you know, because then we've
not
got
open to the public.
Teachers that are like, oh, there's somebody coming out of the sauna. That's, no, you can't be in here.
Yeah.
Nobody's monitoring that, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So that was a little, yeah. But I think this Monday was better. We had a conversation and kind of met and did a little bit of planning about doors and what to do and reminding, you know, kids that, it's not open.
This is what it means.
Yeah. Which is a bummer, but I don't know how that's all going to play out either. It's kind of a hard conversations there too. Hard budget conversations, I know, for the borough as well. So fingers crossed moving forward that it will be more, you know, that they can open things back up again or look at their staffing or mm-hmm. But I know it's tough, difficult down there too, so
All right, well, thank you so much for all that information about the meeting and anything else that you want to touch on before we
Want to throw some dates out there in case somebody doesn't tune in to the meeting tonight, but let's see, graduation is on the 28th. So if you know a graduate or have a graduate or you just enjoy seeing all of the success that our school has had, that is on May 28th at 7 p.m. At the gym. So you can come and sit and listen. They always have great speeches from the students to the invited speaker. And Mr. Linhard showcases his senior musicians.
Always some music. And
it's a good time. People should come out.
It's a nice event.
And see graduation. And the elementary field day is earlier that day, so on the 28th. And I know that they are looking for volunteers to help offer like stations for the kids to participate in field day. So,
and our hot dog cookout on the 24th. That's on the Friday before Memorial Weekend. And we could remind people, as we had parents being able to come have lunch with their kids, we'll clarify for Mara. We're teasing her last time.
A parent that doesn't read the email.
Yeah, that didn't have the right information or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so if parents are welcome, we're welcome and invited all during May to come have a lunch with their kid if they haven't. And we were using some of our Healthy Living grant money for that, our new 2.0 Healthy Living grant. And people could also use their little coupon if they want to for the hot dog cookout day if they want to have that be the day they come meet with their child. So
I highly recommend
any
actual school lunch day.
Yeah.
Because the quality of food that is served is just, it's worth it to go and use your ticket for that. Not that hot dogs aren't great. They're great.
This is true. But come have salad and hang out with your child. So if you haven't done that yet, come do that or call. So they do prefer if you can certainly call the elementary school. It helps them with numbers and space. So if you could call ahead just to let them know that you want to use your day or whatever, they've got a list down there. It's really easy to do. Middle and high school is a little more open. And come embarrass your middle school kid and have lunch with them. Do it.
And I did think of one other thing, which is there's a noise parade today, right?
Yes.
Noise parade because...
For the esports team.
Yeah, I don't have all the information. I hope to talk to some of the students, but...
What's that?
I heard it's maybe right after
school, the fire truck. That's what we do here for the kids that if they win a state competition, and this one was it's growing, right? So ASA is really, I mean, we're the first ones in Southeast to do it, but it's grown. It's becoming, you know, it is an ASA sanctioned event. They're expanding into the state. They're really, you know, and it's exciting. So we had this group of kids this year that just hung in there and did it, and they were every day working on it after school, and you know, they've got their shirts, their team shirts, and they did great, and they had their last, you know, kind of the finals or whatever last week, and so they're they'll be on the fire truck today. So, and they kind of do a little loop. So if people want to come join in, it's fun. Just a fun little loop around.
And esports is like a video gaming team. And if you need more information, we've done a few stories on that. You can just Google it and find out information. But
It's a new venue and a new opportunity for students to be involved in some sort of group activity that's offered by the school. So, you know, commonly video gaming is done individually, but now, you know, these...
they have to work as a team.
These players, you know, work together and cooperate. And we really know, you know, human connection is really so important in our learning in general, in learning, even lifetime learning and connection to the community. So it's nice to be able to offer something that sometimes people see in a negative light, but it really is a positive light for students that are interested in it. And, you know, they get an advisor and they have a...
They have a team. I mean, it's a whole
team and an advisor that they can, you know, rely on and just have that connection as well. So
and they're held to the same standards as other extracurricular activities because it's state sanctioned, like you mentioned. So
And the connections to watch them. If it's not your thing, I don't know that much about gaming per se. There are some people who know lots more about it than I do, but to watch them and to see that, like Mara's saying, you think maybe they're all kind of. I mean, you kind of have this image in your mind what they might be doing. Are they all kind of zoned into some place? Oh, no. I mean, they are talking and interacting. The kids are with each other on our team. And they're like, you know, go here, do this. I mean, it's not just...
Yeah, like strategy and cooperation, cooperative game.
It's a very very cool thing.
Like a sport.
It's a sport. It's a very cool thing to watch. So,
awesome.
Anyway, it's neat to see them connect.
Yeah, so that noise parade is today around 3:10 after school.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right, well, thanks so much. Again, the school board meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. in the middle and high school library. KFSK will be broadcasting that meeting live.